Hello, my name is John, and I am a history hunter. I'm part of Heritage Learning Lancashire. Our job is to bring history to life and fill in the gaps. I've been handed 10 questions, all about the Golden Age of Islam, and all from your class. Great questions, by the way. So if you're ready, let's find out what you wanted to know. Question number one was, why was the city round? Baghdad was created by a man called Al-Mansur, who was the caliph or leader of a huge empire. Al-Mansur wanted Baghdad to be the perfect city, to be the centre of an empire. The original city was designed in the shape of a circle, roughly 2 kilometres across. The circle was the caliph's tribute to a man called Euclid, who was an ancient Greek mathematician who basically invented geometry, a kind of maths. And he did loads of work on circles. He came up with the idea of circumference and diameters, for example. Al-Mansur was a big fan. And when it came to working out what his new city would look like, he opted for a round one. His idea was to build a circular city that was effectively a fort, which would be easy to defend. On top of that, the circle is an important shape in the Islamic religion. It's a symbol of perfection and simplicity, which certainly sums up Al-Mansur's design. Question number two. Who were the most important caliphs? The caliphs who ruled over Baghdad until the Mongols invaded and destroyed the city were all from the same dynasty or family known as the Abbasids. There were 36 in total. To be honest, every one of them thought he was probably the most important. But if we had to choose, then for me, there are just a few candidates. Al-Mansur has to be on the list, as Baghdad was his vision, his idea, his plan. He got it built, and he set in motion a series of events that led to Baghdad being the centre for learning and trade in a massive empire. Caliph Harun al-Rashid loved the arts and was the first Islamic leader to establish a hospital, which was good as Baghdad was the centre for lots of medical ideas during this time. He also started a pursuit of knowledge from across the world, which was taken up by his son, Al-Mamun, who established a wonderfully named House of Wisdom, a centre for the study of sciences, including maths, astronomy, medicine, chemistry, geography and astrology, where books from across the world were gathered, some of them were hundreds of years old, and brought to Baghdad and translated into Arabic. Baghdad was the place to be for students, teachers, scientists, doctors, all kinds of people who all had very big brains. Baghdad was a city of ideas. And I suppose if you include the first caliph, you should include the last, a man called Al-Mustasim, who watched the city being destroyed by Mongol warriors before he was killed by them. Question number three, what inventions happened during this time? Well, there's lots of debate, discussion and even argument about the types of things that were invented during this period, either in Baghdad or across the Islamic world. But the Golden Age lays claim to inventing all manner of things. I'll keep medical stuff separate, as there's another question about that. So here are a few examples of things that came out of the minds of some very clever people in the Golden Age. For example, a man called Muhammad al-Khwarizmi worked out all the variables of addition, subtraction, multiplication and division and gave the world algebra. Muhammad al-Fazari, inspired by the ancient Greeks, perfected the astrolabe, an aid to navigation, so explorers and navigators wouldn't get lost anymore. Evidence also suggests that during this time we saw the introduction of windmills and perfume, adding robotics, flight, unpowered of course, the magnifying glass and the pinhole camera, and you can see there was an awful lot going on. In art and design, you also see the development of the Samarra decoration style, which is still very visible today. You might want to look these things up and find out more about the people behind the ideas. My favourite of them all is Abbas ibn Firnas, who according to the history books was the first man to fly and lived to tell the tale. Question number four, what legacies did they leave us? Well, the results of the learning revolution, as I like to call it, during the Golden Age, gave us all kinds of new information and all sorts of science, maths, medicine and literature. There was a passion for learning. I think, therefore, that's the main legacy, that passion for learning. And of course, all the scientific discoveries are helping us even today. Question number 5, why was the House of Wisdom so important? Well, education is a really important part of the Islamic faith, and it seems that education was seen as a way to get information across to millions of people over a vast empire. Children were encouraged to learn how to read and write so they could study the Quran. By the middle of the 9th century, knowledge was divided into 3 categories: the Islamic sciences, philosophy and natural sciences, known as Greek knowledge, which was very important, and the literary arts. The House of Wisdom created a centre for learning where ideas, theories, science and all manner of information was gathered, discussed, explained and rethought. People like doctors, scientists, medical experts, scholars and teachers all came to Baghdad to be part of this process. It is also important to point out that there were similar centres for learning in Egypt and Spain, all part of the Islamic world, leading to a real sense of competition and a true focus on learning. Question number 6. What was crime and punishment like? What were the most common punishments? Well, crime hasn't really changed through time. People commit acts of crime against people and or property. Sadly, it seems that any time a society makes rules to live by, some people will look to break those rules. Society then has to decide what to do with people who break those rules. To do this, society creates a legal system. It's important to remember that the legal system in one country might be different to that in another. The legal system, the laws that people live by, were different in Baghdad than they were here, for example. Baghdad was and still is a Muslim city and followed the teachings of Islam, which created a set of rules and laws based around its religion. This is known as Sharia law and is still used today in certain parts of the world, although really, today's version of Sharia law is a lot different to what it was 1,000 years ago. Sharia law acts as a code for living that all Muslims should adhere to, including prayers, fasting and donations to the poor. It's a kind of lifestyle guide as well as a legal system. However, some of the punishments for breaking these laws might seem a bit violent to us today, a bit harsh. But when these laws were created, life was very different. These were rules made for a very different time. Thieves could have their hands chopped off, you could be whipped with a stick in a public square for drinking alcohol, or if you robbed or murdered anyone on the public highway, you might be put to death. Other punishments involved paying huge amounts of compensation and spending time in jail. Question number 7. Was medicine and medical inventions important during that time? The simple answer is yes. There was a real thirst for knowledge about medicine and the treatment of illness during the Golden Age. People wanted to know what caused illness and how they could cure it. They wanted to know how the body worked, how everything worked. So lots of information was gathered and new ideas brought forward. Islamic scholars looked at Greek and Roman books and information on medicine, translated them into Arabic and then made sense of them, explained them and improved on them. Without this, it's unlikely that we would know as much about medicine as we do today. The Golden Age produced some of the greatest medical thinkers in history. Men like Al-Razi, a doctor and a scientist, who was regarded as the doctor's doctor, and he introduced lots of things. He wrote over 200 books on medicine, including The Diseases of Children, the first book of its kind on that subject. He wrote about immunology and allergies, and he discovered asthma and invented things like the spatula. Ibn Nafis worked out which way blood circulated around the body, giving us a greater understanding of how our body works. A man called Al-Zarawi introduced over 200 medical instruments, including scalpels, bone saws and forceps. And Hassan ibn al-Haytham worked out how the eye actually works. And it was him that invented the pinhole camera we mentioned earlier. Medicine was massive in the Golden Age. Question number 8. How did the Golden Age of Islam start and finish? The Golden Age of Islam started with the creation of a new city called Baghdad and effectively ended when that city was destroyed by the Mongols. Question number 9. Who were the most significant people at the time? Well, if you look back at the earlier answers, you will see that there were all manner of significant people in the Golden Age who had an impact not only on life then, but also our lives today. Question number 10. What was the class system like at the time? Okay, if you imagine society as a pyramid, those in charge are at the top, and those who will never be in charge are at the bottom. In the Golden Age, the Abbasids were the ruling family. So their pyramid looks like this. They had a caliph at the top and slaves at the bottom. At the top, the caliph and his family. The caliph's all powerful. His family gets special privileges and lots of power and wealth. One rule, don't mess with the caliph. He's in charge. Next, you've got professionals, right? This section accommodated men of various skills, doctors, teachers, merchants, among others. They were very respected in society. They brought knowledge and trade that made Baghdad the place to be in the Golden Age. You then had everyone else who lived in and outside the city. Farmers, builders, a kind of working class. These were all of the Islamic faith. Next ranked down were the Dhimmis. They were people of other faiths, such as the Christians and Jews, known as the protected people. They were given the status of being protected and had to follow strict rules and pay their taxes regularly. In such cases, they were given the right to live freely in Baghdad. And then right at the bottom were slaves, the lowest rank of all. So that's your lot. That's society. That's Baghdad. That's the Golden Age. Hope you've enjoyed listening and you have the answers that you seek. If you have, it means only one thing. Time to ask more questions and get history hunting. Good luck. This is John, the History Hunter, saying goodbye. Goodbye.